Aloha.
Hi there.
And welcome to Global Family Life.
This is Wesley Snipes.
I am your host, Kay Snow Davis. And we have a very, very special guest with us tonight, Ray Murray. Now, no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is for you. So relax. Take a deep breath and breathe in aliveness. Now let your breath out and release your stress of the day. Breathe in love and release your breath in gratitude. We need to take lots of deep breaths in our days and our evenings. There's lots and lots of life happening around the world. So if you're noticing that this last week was pretty challenging and pretty high-paced and pretty demanding in a variety of ways, I want you to know that this is happening to so many people. So it's not just you, and it's not just, oh, is there something wrong with me? But remember those basics. It's really important to drink lots of water and take lots of deep breaths during this time of high intensity and high stress. If we remember that our body is really a crystal being, that we're three-fourths water. The planet is three-fourths water. And as the vibrational rate shifts on this magnificent planet, our crystalline body, our crystal being, registers these shifts. Now, since we didn't learn this in school, our conscious mind doesn't always understand or recognize or know what to do with these sensations or with these experiences. So this time in our life, this time of the holiday season, there's always a lot more emotion around holiday season. And a lot of times the emotion comes from you're going to go home. And maybe home is wonderful memories. Maybe it's a mixed bag. Maybe it's not pleasant memories. Regardless, there's always a lot of emotion, and it's exacerbated right now for everyone on the planet. So this is the time to really, really listen to your heart, to really listen to your intuition, and don't be in judgment of yourself. If you have a lot of mixed emotions, if you have a lot of reactionary emotions, please don't be in judgment of yourself, because you start an inner conflict that will increase your stress instead of decrease it. So let your conscious mind that would judge you be an observer and help guide you through the emotions. Remember, emotions are energy in motion. That means it needs to move. So in allowing your emotions to move, then the life and the aliveness that follows movement is available to you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's important to remember that in this paradigm shift, in this global evolution, we are on one home, this home planet. So the global recovery that is happening, consciously or unconsciously, known or unknown to us, there's a divine plan in order here, and we're all a part of it. All life is a part of this divine order. So I'm really excited that tonight you're going to get to listen to a very special man, currently living in Spain, but it looks like the universe is going to transplant him. And he'll know more about that moment by moment, I'm sure. But let me tell you a little bit about Ray Murray. Because he's gone through a lot of things in his own life to open up the space for his awareness to release these wonderful, wonderful teachings for us. When Ray was 32, he went through a major transformational experience. He'd been a police sergeant in England for a number of years and was in the midst of a divorce. That was to be the springboard that launched his soul searching. He was deeply seeking to make sense of his personal life, and in that quest, the window of global universal life opened to him. Now, with this opening, he says, "The moment that I appreciated the true nature of humanity, that was the moment when I began to be blessed with insights, knowingness, and recognizing infinite potential and possibilities. Since that moment, my mind has been naturally heaven aware rather than routinely mundane. Little by little, I was blessed at a pace that I could handle with truly astonishing insights into how heaven, the whole of life, and nature co-create, sustain, maintain, develop, enliven, enable, enrich, and enjoy all natural living systems, and how this is done truly, wholly, and naturally." In other words, heaven allowed him to know the eternal principles of compassionate, sustainable development, nature's way. Soon he realized that he could be of more value to the world if he stopped working as a police officer and devoted his life to the power of his name, Raymond. This comes from Teutonic, as the wise protector. Murray, in original Gaelic, is warrior of the great waters, and Ray is peaceful, a wise protector, peaceful warrior of the great waters. Welcome, Ray.
Hi there.
How are you?
Welcome
to Global Family Live. I'm so glad we could have these moments here in snowy Colorado with you from Spain and me here from California too. Share your great wisdom with the audience tonight.
Well, thank you. This is great. I love being here.
It's quite a change for you, too, isn't it, from Spain?
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly colder than what I'm used to, but because I don't get any snow where I'm living normally, this is great. I'm like a kid at Christmas already.
Yeah, it's quite a treat, and it truly is beautiful with the snowstorm we had over the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, I've been so impressed with the wonderful, wonderful teachings that you're bringing forth that can be so transformative for life in so many various ways. And I know all of this is a great passion for you. And tell us a little bit about this wonderful work that you're creating with your school and your global recovery. So fill us in on some details and we'll go to more specific.
Okay. Well, I'm the director of a new thing which we call the International School for Ethical Business. It's already operating out of the UK, but it will really formally go live by the middle of 2008. And the idea of the International School for Ethical Business is that if you kind of imagine a sort of garden umbrella with a concrete base, a pole, and a multicolored umbrella roof, well, then that's a model of this business school, because it's not just like a regular business school. The whole idea is that it will actively and proactively be wealth creating. So the concrete base in this analogy, consists of the teachers of the school. The pole consists of the content, the curriculum, the information that it gives out. But the roof and the various strips on the roof consist of new projects and especially new ethical businesses that the school will help to create. And so in this way, it facilitates the production of wealth in and around its own locale, but it has to be done in ways that are not only profit-friendly, but also people-friendly and planet-friendly. And that's basically what makes an ethical business, something that's profit-friendly, people-friendly, and planet-friendly. And over here, the plan, which is well on its way to kicking in nicely, is that we establish a new ethical business, which will be called Global Recovery. And Global Recovery will kind of do exactly what it says on the tin. It will help facilitate this process, this natural process of global recovery, but it will do so in a way that engages the world of business to be a contributor to that process rather than part of the problem that's made it necessary to have the thing.
Well, and Ray, I really appreciated, I've appreciated so much of what you've been sharing with our team here. And I really appreciated your three circles with when we transform banking, we will transform business, and then community will become sustainable. Would you tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on that?
Sure. Well, if you kind of imagine three concentric circles with banking in the middle, and then the next circle around that is business, then the one around that is community, and outside of that is the big wide world. Those words, banking, business, and community, are basically neutral. And how we do those things determines on whether ultimately we have a positive or a negative impact on the world. It determines whether our communities will be sustainable and so on. So at the minute, we tend to have very myopic banking, which we've inherited from the way it was done by our forefathers. And that's created certain ways of interacting with business, so business has become very orthodox, and ultimately the two together have created and developed a consumer-led culture worldwide. And so we are big into consumerism, and that makes almost every single one of our cultures on the planet fundamentally unsustainable. Now, if you switch that around, and it's not a huge switch, if you facilitate and develop conscious banking that serves and supports ethical business and visionary investment, and that process, all those together as one, naturally will produce more and more sustainable communities. And when that's going on, the impact on the wider world is totally beneficial. So the change begins with banking and the way that business invests money and thinks about its impact and use of resources, and that determines the shape of the businesses themselves, but also switches the whole pattern of unsustainable communities around from consumerism to what I like to call compassionism, so that the whole nature of why we do what we do is based on adding value to life rather than get rich quick and I'm okay, Jack.
Well, and Ray, as you're speaking, you know, I'm thinking this is really using your model. If we look at microfinancing, it's really beginning that process. It's changing the way that money is used, non-collateralized loans.
That's right.
And influencing and even generating the possibility for individuals to create a life-supporting business, which then flows right out into their community.
Yeah.
So we've got samples of this, and like you said, it's not a major thing. It's a tweaking and a redirecting. And I think that's a comforting thing for people to understand, because when it comes to money, it looks like it's so big and it's so distorted and it's so hopeless. And I think we need to have hope that we can redirect our resources, our time, our energy, and our money, and it will, in fact, have an impact.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with money is it's a tool. in the same way that a chainsaw is a tool. And with a chainsaw, you can make a beautiful ice carving, or you can decimate a rainforest, or even take somebody's head off.
Right.
It's how you use the tool.
Mm-hmm.
The tool itself is just a tool.
Mm-hmm. So if we focus on a redistribution of our resources that is not defined and confined into a war economy, but can actually come into a sustainable, conscious economy and community living and global living, it's a completely different life.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I really like about this is that, as you mentioned in your introduction, there's this natural process of global recovery is happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
People like myself, we're not inventors of it. We're midwives to a process. We're just quite clear about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to translate a little bit into how that can be made more and more easy and more understandable.
Well, and I really liked what you said earlier about planet-friendly, people-friendly, and prosperity-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those are unknown words.
Well, the thing is our soul and our humane nature, which is our true nature, already knows all this stuff, and it's the way
exactly.
We like to be. We're naturally very collaborative. We're naturally very compassionate. We want to nurture, and because we've learned how to behave differently to that, doesn't change the fact that we kind of behave a little bit out of sync with who we are. And so the tweaking is just getting back into sync with who we are and then tweaking our tools, using our tools differently so that we make a difference in the world that's beneficial. And one of the things that I'm really keen to see is the creation of 5 new key global industries. I don't know if you want me to talk a bit more about that, but
I do. I'd love for you to share that.
One of the things that's clearly going on is that the world's in a mess. We know that, but it doesn't have to stay that way. And if you look at what is it that's created that mess, that's fairly easy to identify. There's what you could call 5 key global but negative industries going on. These negative global industries already happen. That's important to realize. The first one is the global sickness industry. And that's where, for example, large pharmaceutical companies don't really care. This doesn't apply to all of them, but some, and enough to make it happen like this, that if they don't really care about people being well and having a great lifestyle, they make their money off people staying sick. And that pattern exists, and it's created basically a global sickness industry. It shouldn't be that way. The next pattern is the global greed industry. And although that's not something people deliberately sign up to, the way that orthodox businesses work so easily supports and feeds greed that we've got this industry with all kinds of mini sub-industries within it. And the next key global industry is the global disruption industry. The worst example of that, of course, is war. And then following on from that, the global misery industry, which is kind of the total of all the first 3 I've mentioned. Because when we've got those blech industries going on, we just feel, what's the point? Why am I doing this? Is it really just to pay the mortgage or whatever? And if you look at all of those 4 key global negative industries together, then the whole that is greater than the sum of their constituent parts is the global ownership industry. And that's made us behave as if we are able to own the earth and in some cases even own each other. And those patterns happen. They really are going on. We've inherited them from our forefathers. I'm not saying they were nasty. It's just the way it is. But the fact is, they don't have to be the key industries for the future. If we can facilitate the birth and establishment of the 5 key positive global industries that would love to be born and established in this world, then we will see the creation and growth of the global well-being industry. Clearly, that is directly contrary to the global sickness industry. We'll also see the establishment of the global prosperity industry, which will get away from the global greed patterns. We'll see the establishment of the global peace industry and the global fun industry. And all those 4 together will help create the global unison industry. And that will put us in a position where we live and work in unison with the world instead of behaving as if we are okay being in ownership of it. So mm-hmm. the switch is from ownership to unison. It's not a huge shift. But taking all that, what I've just said, it's a big piece of work making it happen. It's not going to happen overnight. But it's kind of happening anyway because this natural process of global recovery is giving birth to these industries. People mm-hmm. want them, and you can look around and you can see examples of them. They're just not coordinated yet into full-blown industries. But they're happening, and they're on their way.
Well, they certainly are. And, you know, the thing I really like, Ray, is with your differentiating and giving us the example that these are global industries.
Yeah.
And that the global industries, as you've listed, the sickness, the greed, the disruption, the misery, and the ownership, those are trained conditions.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not born to create industries that are in complete disharmony with the earth, with our home.
Absolutely right.
And so with the evolution and the evolving consciousness that, as you're saying, we know is happening, it's happening all over the world. So again, we're looking at a global evolution that can spawn a different industry that does recognize we are a global family and we live on one home. And these industries that we generate have got to become harmonious or all life is threatened on this planet.
Yep. And the great thing about what I see going on is that I felt really lucky that the life change I went through gave me all these insights that I just love. It's like it really is like having the best present you could possibly have every day, just to get these insights. But what happens slowly for me, I see happening in young people really, really quickly. And the youngsters that are coming through now just know so much stuff that you don't have to explain it too deeply. They get it, really get it.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, Ray, and I know in the work that I do with the generational cycles, which is based off of the Pluto
uh-huh.
cycles, that this generation that is born from 1958 to 1970 is the bridge-building generation, and they're being highlighted right now on the planet for the next 2 years. So all of these people planetarily and throughout the globe are like emerging flowers, that it's their season to blossom and bloom. And the driving force in this generation is to take the best of what the ancestors have provided and bridge that through cooperation, compassion, and collaboration to the younger generations, so that we are literally crossing a bridge of consciousness that we ourselves, each and every one, are building, because it's an evolutionary process regardless of our belief systems. They can no longer hold us to a minimized state of reality because there is a force greater than our minds.
Totally agree. Completely agree with that.
So with the International School of Ethical Business, the part I love, Ray, is you've simplified, I mean, huge conditions that are going on this planet. You've simplified them to a very strategic point that allows people who are strong in business, they've been in business for a long time, they can use these. New people who are entrepreneurs, can be understood by the housewife in whole new ways, even work with these principles as family, because everything is family.
Mm-hmm.
And the model that you're supporting us with is definitely showing that we can make a different choice every day, and that will generate a whole new way of living.
I completely agree with that. And the thing that I like that you mentioned there, that it isn't just about business, it does spread to all aspects of our life. Because this is all about living in a more natural way. And the inherent pattern within all life and how life truly works is basically compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we've become very good at competing and sometimes even don't realize we're doing that when we're doing it, it doesn't mean that we should continue with going down that road when we can clearly see it doesn't do us any good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a degree of competition that's kind of healthy, but it's all relative. It must take place within a larger backdrop of compassion and collaboration. Otherwise, it becomes way, way out of control and out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, I'm interested. I know you've been here in America, last August, and then for your meetings here. You also work in the UK and Spain. Now, how are you seeing these different countries as far as the evolutionary process that you're bringing to us with the business? Is there commonalities in these nations or quite different? What are you noticing?
Well, what I'm noticing is two things, really, that you have the requirements of the land. And you've probably heard the phrase horse whispering, where
right.
people can pick up what horses are trying to communicate and get the language, and etc. Well, there's a similar process which you could call earth whispering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
mm-hmm.
walk on the land and you feel what the land would like to have happen, then very, very often, especially in the past couple of centuries, the human pattern on top of that has done almost the opposite and sometimes entirely the opposite of what the land would really like to have happen on its surface. That might sound a bit odd, but you can tell what would be great. It's a distinct sensation of, hey, it would be really cool if this was going on. And the thing I like is that now I've traveled around the places that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see people getting that without even knowing they're getting that. They're starting to do things that clearly fit with the land more than operating in ways that are impositions upon the land.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between unison and ownership.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you own the land, you're wrong. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop us behaving like we do. And
mm-hmm.
because we're so good at learning things, we've been trained to think like that, and to not think like that is enormously difficult. But the simple fact is we don't own the land, and the land doesn't own us. We don't belong to it. It doesn't belong to us. We just belong together. It's a different thing. And belonging together is about unison and living individually. It's not about being somebody's puppet. So what we've got going on right now are aberrant behaviors, aberrant attitudes towards the world and the earth and distinct locations. And more as these energy shifts are going on, as kind of like the soul of the world is pushing all of the blech through the earth to the surface. And that comes through in sensitive places, sensitive people, sensitive processes. There's a kind of a clearing. It's like a healing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a homeopathic effect. And as it goes through, if people aren't aware that's happening, they can get really caught up in the negativity of it
mm-hmm.
and behave totally inappropriately. Well, that isn't a five-minute process. It's been going on for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever the stage is that we're at with it right now, it's closer to being complete than it was a couple of centuries ago. So we're one of the most fortunate generations that ever lived on this planet. Because whatever gunk we've got to deal with, whatever nonsense and difficulties we've got to deal with, ain't nothing compared to what our forefathers had to deal with.
Right. And you know, Ray, with what you're saying about the exposure of the gunk, mm-hmm. which is such a wonderful word because it's such a polluted condition, I think it's really essential right now for us to remember, if we take the body model, mm-hmm. if the body is ill, part of its natural process of healing is to detox.
Yes.
Get rid of that which is toxic mm-hmm. in order for the cells who naturally know how to regenerate themselves mm-hmm. can do so in a non-polluted environment.
Yes.
And if we take that model of which we live in 24/7 and realize that's also the model for our home planet, that which has been polluted and influenced environmentally with our thoughts or with our chemicals or with any conditions of disrespect, there's a point of the natural life force itself reclaiming itself. And so the conditions we humans have imposed are toxic, and they're showing up now, which I think if we can remember, detoxing is essential for wellness. And to know that this is a hallway. Detoxing is a hallway to wellness, and we all need to be very impeccable in that movement. But to know where we're headed is to live with the industries that you're talking about.
Yes.
To consciously participate with a wellness industry that is not just about human beings, but about wellness on this planet.
That's correct. And the thing that, on sort of the broader picture of what I perceive going on, is that we live right now in a paradoxical world. There's great stuff and there's awful stuff happening. We all know that. But a paradox kind of reality isn't normal. I should rephrase that. It's not natural. It's become normal, but it's not natural.
Right.
Our true home really is a paradise reality. But if that's opposed by any form of parasite reality, and we try and mix and mismatch the two, then what do you get? You get a paradox reality.
Mm-hmm.
So as we become more and more clear on aligning with that which is truly appropriate and saying no to that which is not appropriate, we then start to live on Earth as we can in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the way heaven works is really simple. It's you say yes when it's truly appropriate to say yes, and you do so with compassionate love.
Mm-hmm.
Then you act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You say no when it's truly appropriate to say no, and you do so with compassionate love, and you act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how simple can it get? But we don't do that. We say yes when we shouldn't, we say no when we shouldn't, or we say yes when we should, but we say it out of fear, etc.,
mm-hmm.
etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite just that you say yes or that you say no. It's everything that goes on behind that. It's your integrity that has to come through that. You have to follow through.
So part of our detox right now, Ray, is that everyone is wondering, what can I do to make a difference? Well, I think you've given us a really good option here to detox our thinking mm-hmm. and to detox our splits in our own value system and in our own beliefs and become congruent within ourselves so that we as one individual on this planet can live in unison inside ourselves with our mind and our heart, and then live in unison with the earth. That's a huge contribution.
Of course it is. And the skill of doing that is the sole skill of trust. And using sort of a mnemonic of T-R-U-S-T for trust, that literally stands for taking risks, unconditionally supporting that which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Now the hard bit in that, because we can all take risks,
right.
The hard bit in that is doing it unconditionally supporting that which is true. So, for example, people will say, I really would love to do that, but I'll do it so long as I don't lose my job, I don't upset somebody, I can pay the
mm-hmm.
mortgage, I can this. So you start applying all these conditions. We've just blown it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not trust.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I really am happy that you brought that up, Ray, because I think trust and truth are two of the most critical aspects of living right now. And if we don't tell ourselves the truth and trust our inner knowing, because there is such a huge detox going on in the systems in the world, and if we've placed our trust in someone else telling us what's true, and now that system is dissolving, that leaves us in a very vulnerable position without any stability.
Yes, it does. One of the things that, now that you kind of referred to that, I guess it's worth mentioning, is that if we get got by this detoxification process, we can end up agitated and all kinds of different symptoms kick in. But they are symptoms. They're not us. And we can, if we get wrapped up in that process, we can behave in a way that is false. And again, using another mnemonic, false can be defined as being fearful, agitated, lonely or even lost, stubborn, and most of all, exhausting of yourself and others.
Exactly.
So if you feel any one of those going on, there's a false process that you're letting yourself go with. So, of course, you need to know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're true, another simple definition of that is that we are trusting, we're relaxed, we are unlimiting, and we are enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek entheos, which means in God. So it's about being the soul that you truly are and allowing who you are to flow. You know, that it's all about being the more that we really are, because we come from more. We're on our way back. We're returning to that state of being more. We just happen to be going through a scenario, a paradoxical reality that makes us feel like we're less than we truly are, but we're not, we're more. And the more we are, the more we are, the more we are, the more we are. And the beauty of all of this is that once you get to that situation where you know that this is more, then what's beyond that? Well, more. And what's beyond that? More.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes. That's how the infinite is. It's always more. That's why it's indefinable. And it's eternal. So the whole point about this is we've become wrapped up in focusing on the external. Then we internalize that and we re-externalize and we get in the little box thinking, going through a whole scenario there of externalize, internalize, externalize, and so on. The simplest way to change that is to be open to the flow of the eternal, let that come into us internally, and then we externalize that and we realize the eternal in reality. We transform this paradox into a paradise.
Well, I certainly agree and support with what you're saying, Ray. And you know, the other thing it helps me remember is that we're not born with our beliefs.
No.
We're trained. We are absolutely socially, mentally, emotionally trained into a belief system based on the environment and the conditions we grow in. And those beliefs may have absolutely nothing to do with our soul blueprint. And so the more that we give our energy to beliefs that have come from outside of us, and they belong to somebody else, who knows how many generations it took to get those beliefs created, and then we wear them as if they're authentic.
Yeah.
And we kill people in that whole reality of our beliefs. So if we really understand the outpicturing of life, that this war condition that continues to happen on this planet is a result of our own conflicted belief systems that are not aligned with our soul blueprint and our soul purpose.
Correct.
And if we really recognize, as you're supporting us, Ray, with your wonderful model, that it's an inside job.
Yes.
And it's a choice.
Yeah.
And that if we really look at what's the payoff here, to have a world that has five industries that are sick and unhealthy and harmful, or to choose each and every one of us to say, okay, I'm going to put my energy into industries that bring wholeness and unison.
Exactly.
That would make a huge, huge, huge difference, because the critical mass could be reached with that in a blink of an eye.
It's not a huge job. I mean, that's kind of a, sounds a bit flippant what I've just said there, but it's not. Because no matter how much work is involved in that, it's less expensive for us, it's less effort than becoming extinct.
Absolutely. And you know, too, Ray, I believe when you say it's not a huge job, I think the biggest job that we have is living the illusion and putting all of our energy into our beliefs that have no substantiated reality in the universe. That's a big job.
Yes.
Because there's nothing to substantiate that illusion or that reality, and we're not questioning that. I think when we really begin to release into the truth of the universe, the unison within all life,
that's right,
and feel exactly what you were saying about that real enthusiasm to become alive again. We have so many walking dead on this planet. It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that it's very common these days to talk about energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something worth making the distinction here. That the way a genuine paradise reality works is through synergy. It's very, very synergetic. In other words, the whole truly is greater than the sum of its parts. It's uplifting, it's enlivening, and all that good stuff. What opposes that, you can describe as a parasite reality, and that's entropic. It needs and breeds entropy, which is a process that sucks out the energy, diminishes form, reduces, decays, and all of that stuff. And in the middle, between synergy and entropy, there is energy. Now, what isn't commonly known is that energy itself, energy per se, is simply neutral synergy. It's capable of being the host to both synergy and entropy at the same time, which means as it becomes more and more aware of what's going on within itself, that energetic reality finds itself in a place where it can choose to be more open to synergy and closed to entropy. It can be more open to aliveness, in other words, and more closed to the decaying processes and the disruptive processes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a choice. And the thing that I mentioned before about the soul of the world process of kind of the homeopathic effect is that the choice is happening. The choice has already been made. We don't have to think what our choice is. We've made it. Our choice is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Done deal, you know. So don't go thinking, what's your choice? We made that before you were born. Your soul chooses bliss. Your soul responds only to freedom. So feeling incarcerated is only a symptom of this blech. It's not the reality that we will ultimately experience if we be true.
Well, and Ray, with what you're saying, that if we realize that human beings learn by modeling and imaging as part of what our cognitive brain is about, and if we shift our focus to our babies and to our children,
mm-hmm,
and notice before we pollute them with our beliefs,
yeah,
bliss and natural living and wholeness and wellness and beauty is all that they are, if they haven't been diseased by toxic conditions or a biochemical imbalance or a disability that we recognize as disabling, they're still bliss.
Yeah.
And so if this is the model that is being born generation after generation after generation, then it seems to me it's time to shift our eyes. And if we're going to keep modeling our beliefs and modeling our history, we're going to keep producing results that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But if we shift our focus to the children and every day ask ourselves, how could I be more like that innocent being instead of trying to make that being become more of who I am?
Yep.
So we already have the model. We have the incredible support from the earth with the balance that she provides. So what I see your work bringing to us, Ray, that is so important is a bridge.
Yes. It is, really, because when I do a lot of work with companies, which I do, the most common scenario I get is people say, okay, if we're stuck in this point A, this zone A of orthodox business, and it's a mess, which we all accept, and we'd love to get to point B, this another zone, another area called B, which would be wonderful in this sort of much, much better world than we've got right now. That's a great idea, but how do we go from point A to point B? So the work that I do is basically help people see how they do that. And the thing I love is that it's so simple.
Yes.
Because when people have unlearned a little bit, because there's a little bit of unlearning people have to do,
right,
of fixed ideas and the beliefs you mentioned before, and then a realization of, my goodness, this really does work. When people get to that point of seeing that it actually works, then they look back and think, oh, why didn't we just do it that way all the time? It's 10 times easier or X number of times easier than it was struggling. And it's partly through habit. It's a little bit like, you know, how you see in a lot of unfortunate situations where the abused becomes the abuser.
Exactly.
Well, it's the same. We're strugglers. You know, the struggler becomes another struggler.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're used to struggling, we breed struggling. It's like, come on, what are we doing?
Well, and again, this is, you know, where we're in that situation of our beliefs controlling us instead of us managing our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that is so real with our cognitive mind is we can't know what we can't. No, we don't know what we don't know. And so when there's the option of perception and another potential, so with what you're bringing, with these very simple, clear methods, is to offer the opportunity for people to know what they really know.
Yes. And the key thing to appreciate is that everybody's soul already knows.
Exactly.
And if our mind has become accustomed to being relatively closed to our own soul, all we kind of need to do is open our minds to our own soul. Not somebody
mm-hmm.
else's teaching. You don't need a guru. Just open your mind to who you are, and who you are is your soul. And the way that the soul communicates to the mind, it's not thou shalt this, thou shalt that. It doesn't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
The soul communicates to the mind going, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this, or if this was happening, or so on? And it's a very, very light-hearted, whole-hearted communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a giggle in a way. And what we tend to do when we close our minds to that is we become very, very single-minded and logical. And being single-minded doesn't do it.
No.
We need to be wholehearted instead of single-minded in our
right.
endeavors. Because when we're single-minded, we just reduce our focus like a laser. And we need to open it up like a flare. We need to see more broadly.
Right.
The only way you do that is looking through the eyes of the mind.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about the mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about the mind's eyes. Because
exactly.
we see with two states of mind, logic and logos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people maybe not be aware of the word logos. It's a Greek word. And means the word, as in the beginning was the word, and so on and so forth. But what it really refers to is a kind of way of seeing life as a soul. So So if we're just going around using logic, it's like having one of your mind's eyes closed.
Exactly.
And opening your mind to seeing through both eyes, so that you see as a soul with an active mind. You're not plugging into someone's belief system. You're just seeing reality as it is around you with a much, much broader awareness of what really is real and what's true and what's not.
Well, and I think you stated so clearly with compassionate loving, and this is so important, and I can hardly believe that we've wiped out this hour when it feels like we've just barely begun. So I know we have to have you back, Ray, and I know that you're taking off very soon to go back to Europe, and so we'll definitely, I promise the audience, we will have you back very soon. And I'd like to make sure now that any of you that want to be in touch with Ray, there's a couple of ways to do that. One is an email address, which is iseb.global@yahoo.com. And then also you can get additional information and keep up with some of these wonderful things that continue for Ray daily. If you go to Azad's website, and it's nature-horseman.zod, and that is Z as in zebra, A-A-D as in David, Z.com/forward, that's a forward slash blog. I'm going to say that one more time. So it's nature, and this is without www before nature. So you just have your HTTP or HTTP. Now it's nature-horseman.zods.com/blog. So that you'll be able to still continue to expand your awareness and what Ray is sharing, and also keep up with the things. And he will be arriving back in the U.S. sometime in 2008. So, Ray, I thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and for what you're doing in the world.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and a joy.
And I want to remind each one of you that you can participate with the free teleconference call to review my books, Point of Power, Wheel of Life, and also the information on generational cycles by dialing 212-990-7370. And you can purchase those items at www.gfec.com. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I hope you have wonderful dreams. And I say to you, Ano Ai, O Kalahele, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again. Aloha.